There are two places that you do not want to live. There are two places that you don't want to move to. I'll give you a little warning. Stay away from them. One place is the past. I was reminded of that last week as I went to upstate New York and spent a little time walking around the town I grew up in, visiting the old haunts. I kept waiting for that Twilight Zone moment where I just was 12 years old again, pedaling around town. Every time I had those moments, I looked up and there was Karen and saying, "When are we going home?" So that was taken away. You never want to live in the past. Nice place to visit. The second place you never want to live, and you probably guessed it by now, is the future. Sometimes we tend to look way out there for something that we want to happen and for an existence that we have not made it to yet. And it's good to have the past to go back and reflect and look at and appreciate, but it's a terrible place to live. Sometimes folks live back there because they think it's a better time than I'm living now. There's a reason why the past is a terrible place to live and the future is a terrible place to live. Because in doing so, we miss now. We miss the moment. But there's a greater reason why those are two places to stay away from, and it's that Jesus is in neither place. He's not back there, and he's not out there. He's here. Seven times in the Gospel of John, Jesus looked at his men to identify himself to them and said, "I am the bread of life." He didn't say, "I was the bread of life," or "I will be the bread of life." I will be the resurrection and the life. No, he said, "I am those things." When Moses was going to go down to Egypt and God sent him to deliver the people of Israel, he asked God, "Who shall I send, say, sent me?" And God said, "The I was," or "the I will be." God lives in the ever-present now. There is no past with God. There is no future with God. He's not out there and he's not back there. He's now. He's here. And in today's passage in John chapter 15, he gives the seventh of the great I ams. I am the true vine. Take a look with me, if you will, to John chapter 15. We'll begin in verse 1, make it down about 5 or 6 verses for this morning's message. The scene is days before his crucifixion. They had just spent time in the upper room. And at the end of chapter 14, verse 31, he says, "Arise, let us go from here." Well, where was the here? The here was the upper room, I believe, as they had their talk. The upper room was obviously the upper part of the house. And normally the way that you got down from the upper room is to walk the staircase next to the house. Houses were square and boxy looking. Usually there was an outside staircase leading out of the upper room. And as Jesus walked out of that room in the night of the Garden of Gethsemane, it is very possible he passed by vineyards, grapes hanging perhaps on that staircase, perhaps brushing his hand along one of the branches. He looks at his men and says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser." This is not in contrast to false vines. This is in essence to say, "I am the real thing. I am the true vine." In the Old Testament, Psalms is depicted as a vine that God has taken out of the land of Egypt and planted in Canaan. Later on in Isaiah and Jeremiah, the vine of Israel is seen as a wild vine that God is displeased with. Israel has failed as a nation And Jesus looks at his men and says this, I am the true vine. I am the plant that grows out, that gives life. Now the imagery of this vine and the branches is amazing and deep, and we could spend weeks on it. But notice the first setup of it is that Jesus said, I am the vine, the true source of life. There is no life in religion. There is no life in the Jewish religion or any religion at all. Source of life is Christ Himself. And notice who's in charge of the growth of the vine. The Father is. He is, in the King James, the husbandman, the farmer, the vine dresser. The essence of your Christianity is a focus on the true vine, but know this, that the Father is in charge of your Christian growth. He is responsible for the work that He has done in your life. He is the one who takes care of you. He orchestrates circumstances, people, life. He has it all in His hand. If you think your life is helter-skelter, if you think it is random, it is not. Your Father is the wine dresser. Now that might make you feel a bit uncomfortable because you don't like some of the things that have happened in your life. But God knows it all and uses it all in the process of growth. He is the true vine. I spent a few days in a town where the gospel is almost absent, which has church after church and steeple after steeple and no influence of the gospel at all because they have left the true vine. Churches die a fast, fast death without the true vine. Notice in this work, Jesus says, every branch in me. That tells me everything you're going to read and interpret in the next few minutes has to do with Christians, not lost people. Remember that. These passages have been misinterpreted a number of times by different good men who looked at this wrong. Go into this understanding, every branch that is in me, in the vine. Notice, that does not bear fruit. What does he do? He takes it away. Now, first of all, the phrase, this verse has been used by those who believe that you can lose your salvation, or that if you don't bear fruit, you will be kicked out of the Christian family, that God will sever you. First of all, that does not bear fruit. The construction of the Greek suggests those who have stopped bearing fruit. They have bore fruit at one time. They no longer bear fruit. There's only a couple reasons why the vine, the branches, stop bearing fruit. We'll study that in a minute. Notice he takes them away. The Greek word is aero or eri, A-I-R-O. It is a word meaning to lift up. It is actually translated to lift up, same word in a number of other passages in the New Testament. It is the idea of the vine dresser taking branches that have grown wild and gone down to the ground and begin to crawl along the ground by taking those and lifting them up, setting them back up on the trellis, on the lattice, on what other framework, the wall, whatever there is, to hold the vine. It is the lifting up to set back up in order to begin again to bear fruit. Now the imagery is beautiful and descriptive. There are times in our lives as believers when we begin to grow wild and away from the trellis, the framework, and we begin to crawl along the ground, getting our minds horizontal in basis, not vertical, getting caught up with the things of this world, situations and circumstances, crawling along the ground, left the place of growth, and along comes the Father, and He lifts us up, setting us back up on. Now, in the lifting up, there are many times a taking away. And that's where the pain comes in sometimes. The difficulty comes in. The circumstances we don't like. Focusing our attention back on the trellis, on the framework, on the wall. What is it? Let me suggest two things to you. First of all, the Word of God. It is the framework for our Christian growth and experience. It is the declaration of who we are in Christ, what we possess in Him, the mystery of the gospel. The framework of Christ is found in the very Word of God. How many times have we been rebuked by the Word, encouraged by the Word, set straight in our thinking by the Word of God, set back up by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God? Let me tell you another one I would suggest is the church. When God left, Jesus left, He established a framework of local assembly where the Word of God is to be preached and taught. This is a structure that God has placed in to bring us and keep us constantly there. So He lifts up, not in order to cast out. Number two, every branch that does bear fruit, well, the ESV says prune. That's an unfortunate rendering. The old King James was purges. A little closer, but I think we lose the thought of what that really is. The word is katharera. It is a combination of to lift up, but prefaced by kathar, which means literally to cleanse and to wash. To cleanse and to wash. It is used in another verse in the Bible of Hebrews 10:2. The same exact word as the ESV translates pruned is in this verse. Otherwise, would they have not have ceased to be offered since the worshiper, having once been, there's the word, cleansed, washed. Well, who ever heard of washing a grapevine? Well, Palestinians did. Yeah, during the first century over in Palestine, Israelites washed their vines with a special solution to get the bugs off and the fungus off and the moss off. Kind of gives a different rendering, doesn't it? You know, we see that and we think of these. That's not the word. Those who have stopped bearing fruit for the Father, He lifts up, setting back up on the framework of the Word of God, framework of the church. For those who do, He constantly cleanses, constantly washes. Isn't that beautiful? This is the Father's work. Notice the next verse. Jesus said, "Already you are clean, because the word that I have spoken to you." Now stop and meditate on that a second. Notice the cleansing that happens to those who are bearing fruit. Obviously, the blood of Jesus Christ cleansing us from all sin. Obviously, constantly being corrected. Constantly the blood of Jesus Christ keeping us within His care and His love. But then He looks at this followers and says this, "But already now, you are already clean and you are clean by the word that I have spoken to you. Listen very carefully. And I'm a little surprised at this verse because I understand it's the blood that cleanses us. That's not what he's talking about here. The blood has cleansed us from all sin, but listen carefully. This is the word that he has declared you to be clean. That is your position before the Father, never to be altered. You are clean. Amen. You are cleansed by the blood, but you are declared clean by Jesus Christ. You ever been told something by your parents and you questioned it and they said, because I told you so? That's all you need. You ever wonder if what your position is before the Father? Jesus says you're clean. And when he says you're clean, that's all you need. You are clean before him. Isn't that beautiful? No set of verses that you have to memorize to get clean. No long prayer life you have to accomplish. No service in the church for a lot of years in order to be clean. For years, I struggled as a religionist. For years, I struggled in a gospel preaching church, always wondering if I was measuring up, if I was doing enough, if God was happy with me. You know, I had to make the boss happy at work. I had to make Karen happy at home. And then I had to make God happy down at the church. What a burden I carried, all those things. And all I needed to read was, now are you clean? Completely established before the Father. Isn't that beautiful? Notice he says, already you are clean because of the word I have spoken unto you. So what are you to do with all that? You ready for the big long list that the preacher always gives you in order to be righteous and right with God? You ready? Abide. Stay where God has put you. See yourself in Christ only. Abide. Don't go anywhere. Don't follow men. Don't follow the list. Abide where I put you. I put you in Christ. You are clean. You can never leave that, but in your mind, you can wander off into your own self-righteousness. God says, abide in that. I love it because Jesus made it incredibly simple, did he not? I am the true vine. The only source of life is in me. You will not have any source of life in yourself. You won't have any source of life in your job, in your family, in your church, anywhere. Your source of life is in me and me only. And while you're resting in the life that is in me, as you're looking to me for the source of everything, you're a branch. And know that as a branch, you have a Heavenly Father who has orchestrated your entire life, who lifts you up when you need lifting up. Correction when you need correction. Taking away what you don't need. And as you bear fruit, he is constantly cleansing and cleansing and cleansing. Isn't that beautiful? And then he looks at us and says, you know, in the process of it all, don't focus on the process. Focus on your cleansliness with me is a good word. That you are declared clean by the word of Jesus Christ. You know, I saw an email addressed to me by a fellow named Jake. And Jake said this. Because I didn't open the email, but on the little tab thing it says, Mike, I know all about you, and it's disgusting. I thought, Jake, you don't know me like I know me, because I'd be more disgusted than you would for what you know. God has declared us clean before him. What's our response? Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit apart from the vine, you can do nothing without me. Pretty simple, isn't it? What man complicates and muddies up, God just hits the core straight through.